Morning. I first want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk today. I must say that the first Stewardship Sunday I was here, I was very impressed by the stories and outpouring of your hearts about the importance of giving to support this beautiful church, our beloved congregation, and all the wonderful things that this church does for so many in the community. Believe it or not, that was 3 years ago when we started. When we were asked to talk to the congregation on Stewardship Sunday, it gave me a chance to share with you the love I feel and the importance of this church in my life. Here I find spiritual fulfillment and also look forward to coming to church. One of Pastor's sermons resonated well with me when he suggested that the reason we come to church is it gives us, quote, context for moral reflection. How true that is. Plus, we feel so welcome and loved by all of you. On Stewardship Sunday, it is so good to hear how support through our pledges are so critical to the health of our church. But that is not the real reason I agreed to talk. The real reason is to share a story I was told as a child of a real life experience my parents had on Stewardship Sunday. I hope you don't mind that I share this story, since sometimes I hold back, thinking it will offend others. So I share this with you, hoping it's okay. When I was very young, my parents were just starting out raising three small children. My father worked, and my mother stayed at home in that traditional time. They were very faithful churchgoers and not only went for spiritual fulfillment, but also for the social network that they had there. When stewardship season came around, they were not sure how much they could do as a struggling young family. They prayed about it and decided that they wanted to make a commitment and extend themselves further than they thought they could. They wanted this to be a show of gratitude to God for all of their blessings. So they put in their pledge and agreed to tighten their belts to make this work. A week or so later, my father was called into his boss's office and commended for the work he was doing, and he was given a raise out of the blue. He couldn't believe it. He looked at this as a blessing from God, and in celebration, he increased his pledge to the church proportionately. Okay, so growing up, I was given this example, and I can tell you it's not easy to see that as an example. Though, to my parents' credit, they always stress that this is a personal decision and it is in no way expected, required, or I was compelled to do the same as I grew up. It was just an amazing story that was shared with me. I have to admit that this experience did happen to an extent, though, to Rich and I. Rich is self-employed. His wages are 100% commission. For over 10 years, I was a stay-at-home mom. So we always lived conservatively with swings up and down to our income. However, one year during stewardship, we began to pray about what we should do. We decided to extend ourselves and pledge more than we ever had before. We didn't have an aha experience of a new business suddenly coming in, but over the course of the year, we did better than we had ever done before. We were amazed that happened and looked at it as a true blessing. Each year, we continue to feel compelled to make a commitment that sometimes feels like a stretch. We usually don't share these experiences with others, but one time later we did to a fellow friend who also was an active churchgoer and owned their own business. They too said that each year they extend themselves and somehow each time they have enough and they're doing okay. They too were amazed at how they see blessings that happen when they give. So, why do we give? Is it the latest test or challenge we throw at God? Okay, what can you do for us now? Absolutely not. I think that giving to your church is an expression of your love of God. It can be a real act of faith. I think that when I put myself on the line out of my love and appreciation of God, and amazing things can happen. So when I give, yes, it's support to support a beautiful church, but it is more than that. It is a deeper commitment to the God who loves and guides me. Not all times are smooth sailing, and of course not every year is better than the one before, but somehow we're okay each year. And I know that God is with all of us at all times in thick and thin.
When I was little, we lived with my grandmother in Bethel, Connecticut. She was a caring, sensitive woman, educated to be a teacher, so was tolerant of children, me. Her family was one of the founding families of Bethel and the Congregational Church there. As such, I was enrolled in Sunday school and the chair of choir. During a few years of moving around, church was absent from my life, but not forgotten. When we'd be visiting Graham on weekends, we'd go to church for Sunday on Sunday. Rushing forward to adulthood, church involvement became intermittent as I cared for my mother, who had serious rheumatoid arthritis when we lived in Maryland. While working at a naval facility, I met and fell in love with a man of my dreams. Although he was older than I, we had much in common, and our differences complemented each other perfectly. We were engaged, but he died of a heart attack 4 months later. I tell you this because it's what made me seek God's help to make it through a long 2 years of mourning. I learned a lot about myself, why I'd done the hurtful things I'd done. I decided to change my ways and try to do good things for others, to forgive myself and start over. When I came to New Hampshire, 4 years after my mother died, I'd returned alone. Well, as you all know me, I wasn't alone. I had two cats. My aunt, Gloria Felt, moved up here too, but both of us were loners and not interested in living together, just close, being there for each other when needed. Gloria was raised a Christian Scientist, so religion wasn't a commonality for us. During my search for a church, I visited many in the area, two in Peterborough, Ridge and First Church, and leaving UCJ until last, as I had a feeling it might be the one. My needs were and still are the following: to be in a spiritual church environment, to be social with those of similar spiritual feelings, no matter what ethnicity, their background, to be accepted as I am, to offer what gifts I have, musical, computer, and active but quiet participation, to stay accepting of everyone else's personalities. When I finally walked through the UCJ doors shortly after Easter of 1997, I was very pleasantly surprised at the warm welcome I was given. A week or so later, I was approached by the pastor to see what areas of church ministries I'd be interested in joining. While I was a little taken aback by the question, I realized I was being accepted, and it was the push I needed to open myself up to being social, not my strong suit. Now, after 22 years with UCJ, I feel comfortable through all the changes. My outlook is that better things will happen if I can help in a useful way. Monetarily, I'm retired and living on a fixed income. I pledge what dollars I can, plus I try to find ways to donate, such as the thank you letters that I do for the food pantry, including paper, postage, and ink cartridges. I also do the monthly newsletter, Pathfinder, and as well as special causes like the solar panel. I do the monthly Pathfinder, which I started helping with when I first came, when Margaret Bean was editor, then carried on when she retired from doing it. I've also helped where I'm able, whether it's in the office or selling tickets at events, as my arthritis no longer lets me do much active running around. All in all, I found a second home at UCJ and hope to be able to be useful for years to come. Thank you.
I was honored to ask to speak today about what church means to me. I wasn't sure if it was supposed to be what church in general means to me or this particular church, and I didn't ask for specifics, and I forgot to write about money, so bear with me as I just tell a story. My religious upbringing was a scattered one. I was raised in a Catholic church, attended religious education classes, and made my sacraments. We went often when I was very young, but less and less as I grew. My church was impersonal. Sorry, back up. People didn't know each other at my church, and they didn't stay past the hour to talk. I had always hoped to feel like I was part of something much bigger. Sorry for all the consonants. But there was no real sense of community there. I can safely say that the majority of my religious education and understanding came not from church, but from Andrew Lloyd Webber's rock opera, Jesus Christ Superstar. My journey to God has never been a straight line. I came from a big family whose ideals were varied. The head matriarchs of both sides of the family were competitively religious. One grandmother went to several church services a day and always made sure to sing or pray louder than everybody else, and a little slower as well, so that hers would be the last amen that everybody heard. She was the one who made us say an extended version of grace at meals and who had us sing Happy Birthday, Baby Jesus every Christmas. My other grandmother spends most of her time telling us that we are all going to purgatory and there's nothing we can do to stop it, and that we should be grateful, thank you very much, because when we die, we will not be worthy to stand in the presence of the Lord. And as for me, well, I liked the idea of God, but I had some questions to which my family and the Catholic Church gave some pretty unsatisfying answers. Of course, some questions are ones that no one could answer, and I know now that the mystery, and that's mystery with a capital M, is all part of what makes spirituality so wonderful. My questions about the afterlife were all pretty standard stuff for a kid, but as I grew, I began to question my beliefs as a whole. The dark history of religious wars, exploitation of wealth, and numerous social injustices and abuses of power baffled me. I saw a lot of hypocrisy, and it left a poor taste in my mouth. I held on to my own beliefs that aligned with neither my family nor the church's, and did my best to remain neutral. There were certainly things I liked about my church, and trust me, I still feel the quiet thrill of reverence whenever I enter a Catholic church, but something just didn't quite fit. I worked at one Congregationalist church before I came here, back when I was in college. It was a big change from Catholic Mass, and it took me a long time to get used to it, but it started to get closer to my way of thinking. I didn't stay there for very long, maybe a year or two. I was grateful for my time there, but something still was off. And then I was led here, to this very church nearly a decade ago, into the welcoming and loving arms of Bev Soderbergh. Upon meeting her, she hugged me, just meeting her at that very moment, and proclaimed that because my family lived so far away, she was my official New Hampshire grandmother. Just like that, I had a new family. And with every passing week and every new pastor, it dawned on me that this family, this church family, really got it. On top of that, this church answered some of those questions that the other churches could not, and pretty bluntly, too. Why were churches exploiting wealth? Ours wasn't. We agreed it was wrong. Why couldn't women be spiritual leaders? Not an issue here. Religious wars? Don't believe in them. And as far as excluding and condemning those who are different, the rainbow flag out front speaks volumes. This church preaches the absolute right message, but then takes it a step further by actually practicing what they preach. Imagine that. And through practicing that message, this church fosters community, belonging, love, and the sense that we are part of something much greater. It's what I've been searching for all along. So what message are we practicing and preaching? The simplest, greatest, and most profound rule to live by. To love one another. To do good things. It's not about obtaining the proverbial high score so you get into heaven. It's pretty rare that this church talks about the afterlife as it is. This church focuses on putting love out into the world and doing good deeds without any kind of agenda, without any kind of exclusion. The real word of God was in his command to love, and I see that executed every time I am here in ways both large and small. I talk about this church often to my friends. It isn't cool nowadays to go to church, and I always feel the need not to defend organized religion, but this specific church. No, no, I explain. This one isn't like the other churches. This is a small group of people who are hell-bent on finding ways to do good for their community. It's a weekly gathering of people who are just trying to make the world better. And then I get to tell them how much joy this place brings me, because truly, the United Church of Jaffrey makes me so happy. Carrie can attest to it. We spend the entire ride back to Keene each week with our cheeks in pain from smiling as we talk about all the things we love about this place. The wonderful people in our choir, the music we make and the laughter we share, Cynthia's magnificent rallying skills and purple outfits, Dax's amazing stories, and the eloquence in the way so many of our congregation speaks. I especially love when Sarah, Dottie, or Helen read. Their voices alone are so soothing and impressive to me. And then, of course, there's Pastor Mark, who uses the hour to show us all the many perfect and imperfect ways we can love God and love each other. The story parts of his sermons always make me smile, and his scripture interpretations are always thought-provoking. Singing with him, learning to play the bass from him, and laughing through the whole process are some of the best things about coming here. There's just something about having our tiny choir and a couple of instruments all come together at once to make music. It's that feeling again, that we're part of something greater. And that's what this church is to me. It is the something greater. And the congregation is the something great. This is the place I go to share my worries and my triumphs, to lose myself in music and in reflection, and to laugh until I cry, or occasionally cry until I laugh. This is the place that I know is safe for all who walk through its doors, because not only do we preach the real word of God, but we practice it too. This is the place where there is room for all the joy and sorrow that we go through, space and time to hold it, and a community that will support us when it becomes too much to bear. Our church is the church with the right idea. This is the something greater, and you have all made it something great. Thank you.